Prophetic Journal, the program that tells you the truth about Jesus.
Okay, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Now, before we read on here a little bit, I want you to really think about this. You know, this is one of those things we've heard all of our lives, you know, in Bible school. This is one of the more popular stories of what Jesus did. It's absolutely true. Now, a lot of people, we've got several angles here to deal with to put this into perspective. A lot of people think that this is because Jesus was God by nature, that he could do this. This doesn't have to do with him being God by nature. We need to go back and we need to look at what it means that Jesus is deity, that he is man and God. You see, Jesus, it tells us in Philippians 2, and I want to read this to you. Now, all of this is foundation for what we're going to get into, to understand this. And you're going to see what bearing this has on the last days as we go through it. But all of this has bearing. In Philippians chapter 2, I want you to read here for yourself about Jesus and who he is. Now he tells us about Jesus. "Do nothing," verse 3, "out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Now this is a root to who Jesus was, who Jesus is. "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Now, what's that attitude? Humility, considering others better than yourself. Now, there will be some who will twist this verse, and you got to be careful of them, be wary of them, that your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. No, your attitude should not be to be to where you think you're equal with God. Okay? Your attitude should be one of humility, consider others better than yourselves. It should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Now, we've been told already in John 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there with God, and he is God by nature. But he humbled himself before his Father. He is the Word, and the Father is the Father. He humbled himself before his Father. And so, being in that very nature, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Even if we put it in the way the King James says it, where he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wouldn't be robbery. He would be equal with God. But he humbled himself. Either way, the point is, he humbled himself. He made himself nothing. That's the attitude we should have. Taking on the very nature of a servant. being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. You know, we have heard it said of Jesus that it pleased God to dwell in him in the fullness of God in bodily form. It did. God did that. But that was at his resurrection. Jesus did not have the fullness of God in bodily form when he walked as a man. Did you know that? Read those verses where it says that. That it pleased God to have the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in him in bodily form. That refers to him as a resurrected man, not as the man that walked, Jesus. Jesus made himself nothing. He was recognized as a man who pleased God because he was obedient. Jesus walked as a man would have to. He never called upon his own deity as a man. Never. 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 Not once. Ever. Ever. When he walked as a man, did he call upon his own deity? But he lived as a man would have to, completely dependent upon the Father. Right. Now, how could our example, Watchman Jerry, what you said, amen, he came to show us that we can do as he did if. How could we take on the attitude of Jesus Christ, which was to humble ourselves, if Jesus Christ's attitude was to be deity in flesh? That wasn't his attitude. His attitude was to be a servant in flesh. You understand there's a difference? His attitude wasn't to be deity in flesh. His attitude was to be a servant in flesh, as an example for us. Because we would have to walk in that way. We're not God. You know, God is not the one that has to fulfill the law. God's above that law. God's outside that law. That law was written for men. Jesus had to come as a man, born of a woman, as it says in Galatians, born as a man, born from a woman, born as a man under law. And as a man pleased God, and therefore proving he was the man that Adam could not produce. Proving he's the man that Adam could not produce. A man who could please God. A man that wasn't born of Adam, but was born of God. And this is what it means, that he is the only begotten Son of God, because he's the only man God ever begot. That's the truth. He lived as a man would have to, dependent upon the Father for everything. Dependent upon the Father for everything. And that's our example, to walk with God, depended upon him for everything. So when it tells us that we should imitate Christ in his humility, Jesus is walking here in this verse, in chapter 9, in that humility. He stepped into a boat, he crossed over, came to his own hometown, and these men brought him this paralytic, lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Now, did Jesus do that as the authority of a man? No. Did he do that as the authority of Jesus, who was deity? No. He did that on the authority of the Father. Because the Father had given him that authority as a man. The Father had given him that authority as a man. Remember, and I want you to understand this, Jesus told us very clearly, "What my Father has given me, I give to you." Didn't he tell us this? How many of us know from the Scripture that's what he told us when he left us? I go to the Father, but it's good that I do. It's good for you that I do. And what the Father gave me, I give to you. part of it was that authority. So when Jesus, when they brought him a paralytic lying on a mat, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" Now, what did he call their thoughts when they said he's blaspheming? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. I want you to let that just go all over you. He called their thoughts evil. They sat there and passed judgment on what they did not understand. Didn't they? They sat there and passed judgment on what they did not understand. Jesus is walking by the authority, power, and insight and spirit of God, his Father. He's not walking alone as a man, but they're coming from their own ideas as men. Their thoughts were evil. They passed judgment on something they didn't understand. Did anybody stop and ask Jesus, "Well, how can this be? Please explain to us. How is it that you can forgive this man's sins? Explain to us the difference, Lord." Jesus, nobody did that. They just passed judgment. Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say? And here's where it comes down to it. Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk"? "But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given authority. Given such authority. To God? They praised God who had been given such authority to God? To Jesus as God? No. Who had given such authority to men. Who had given such authority to men. Jesus was walking as a man dependent upon God. And God had given them this authority. And this authority came through that relationship Jesus as a man had with his Father. Now this brings up some interesting points. Because you know what? We as Christians, as the body of Christ, are called to walk as Jesus did in that relationship with the Father. What did Jesus restore to us through his death? He said, "It's good for me to go away, because if I go away, I'll send you the Comforter, and he'll lead you and guide you in all truth. I'll give you that Spirit of truth. I'll give you that Spirit who will lead you and guide you. I'll give his Spirit. He was outside you, and now he'll live in you, and you know him. The same Spirit that's living in me." I want to read you something from John chapter 3. This is what he's promised us. This is what he's promised us. This is the kind of authority that we're supposed to be walking in. Because we're walking in that relationship. But are we? This is where reality of Christianity meets the road with just talking about it. Let's look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I want you to hear some things that Jesus said. This is so important, and I'm going to incorporate this whole little teaching of John chapter 3 into this because it very clearly shows you the path that Jesus walked, that you're to walk. The kind of power you're to walk in because of who you walk with. When Jesus testified to Nicodemus, listen to what he said. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, 'Rabbi, you know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform these miraculous signs you're doing if God was not with him.'" Now I want you to look at Nicodemus for just a second. Nicodemus came at night for two reasons. One, he didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees. talking to this Jesus. Because the Pharisees were not happy with Jesus. Jesus was this radical. He was outside the system. Wouldn't be good for a Pharisee to be seen talking with him, would it? Especially by his cronies. So Nicodemus came by night. Also, whenever Jesus did speak to the Pharisees collectively, he spoke cryptically. He spoke in parables. And without a parable did he ever speak to them. Never once could they get a straight answer from him. Never once. Nicodemus thought, well, maybe if I can get him alone by myself, hey, maybe he'll speak to me plainly where I can understand. And we can get to the heart of this Jesus. And so he comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, Rabbi, teacher, gives him that honor. We know. Who's the we here? It's not the other Pharisees, because the Pharisees knew nothing of the sort. We know you're a teacher come from God. Did the Pharisees know that? No. They didn't know that. So when he says, we know, what we? Me and you, Jesus. Me and you, Jesus, we know. We know you come from God. Notice how Nicodemus is sliding up like a little snake here. We know you come from God. We know that you're a teacher come from God, because no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. What did Jesus tell him? In reply, Jesus declared to you, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Ooh. What did Jesus just tell him? Now, this is an answer to his question. Jesus didn't just go off on another subject. What's Jesus telling him here? No, you don't, Nicodemus. You don't know I'm from God. You think you do. You don't know where I come from. Now listen to what Nicodemus said. We know, you and me, Jesus, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because no one can be doing these signs that you're doing unless God's with him. No, you don't, Nicodemus. You'd have to be born again to know where I come from. Because I didn't come from Nazareth. I come from heaven. And you don't know that. You see physically, while I speak spiritually. Listen to what he says. How can a man be born as... I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So no, you don't know where I come from. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Still thinking physical here, Nicodemus. It's not two physical births. What is Jesus telling? I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Now, born of water is that physical birth. It's just what Nicodemus got through saying. Can I enter again into my mother's womb? You're born of water, out of your mother's water sac. No, it's not a physical birth and a physical birth. It's a physical birth and a spiritual birth. So unless a man is born of water, physically, and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus goes on and confirms it. Flesh gives birth to flesh, born of water, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit, born of the Spirit. You must not be surprised at my saying. You must be born again. You, personally, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you're going to see, if you're going to know where I come from. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, I want to stop right there for a second and take you to John chapter 8. Because he's already told the Pharisees this before. This isn't new. See, Jesus is the man from above. He's not the man from below. He's the man from heaven. He's not from Nazareth. In chapter 8, they're over here asking. And he tells them. And we're going to come back to chapter 8 again after this. So keep it marked in your mind. In chapter 8 here, he says, you are from below, verse 23, Well, let me back up a little bit. They asked him, "Where is your father?" Verse 19. "You do not know me or my father." You don't know me. "If you knew me, you'd know my father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where their offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. And once more Jesus said to them, "I'm going away and you'll look for me, but you'll die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." And this made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is this why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" He continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." Where's he going? Was he going to kill himself? Well, we know he went back to the Father, don't we? When he said, "You don't know where I've come from," what did they say? "Well, isn't not Jesus the son of Joseph whom we know, the carpenter?" What does he mean, "We don't know where he comes from"? They didn't know where he came from. He wasn't the man from Nazareth. He was the man from above. He's the man from heaven. And they didn't see that in him. They only seen according to the flesh. What is it? What do you mean, "We don't know where you're going"? What, are you going to kill yourself? "No, I'm going back to my Father." But you don't get it. Well, you know, it's the truth of everybody that's born of the Spirit is that way. Every one of you. Every one of you that's born after the Spirit. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Born physically and spiritually." You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. But you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. "No, you don't know where I come from, Nicodemus. And you don't know where I'm going. You think you do." And Nicodemus says, "How can this be? You're Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. I tell you the truth, we speak," and here's where it gets down to the nitty gritty. Is Jesus speaking alone here? No. Is he speaking just as a man with his own ideas? No. "We speak of what we do know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." Even John told them later in this same chapter. John the Baptist. When they come and told him and said, "Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, this Jesus guy, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him instead of you now." And this is what John said. Listen to it in verse 27. "A man can receive only what's given to him from heaven." Now hear that. A man can only receive what's given to him from heaven. "You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him, and the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one," this is what John testified, "the one who comes from above is above all. And the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all." Jesus was, "No, you don't, Nicodemus. You don't know where I've come from. You think I came from Nazareth. No, you don't know I'm from God. You'd have to be born again to know that. You'd have to be able to see spiritually to know that." And this is exactly what he's telling the Jews back. Remember I said he was going back to chapter 8? This is what he told him. "My teaching is not my own," verse 16. "It comes from him who sent me." Hello? My teaching, this is Jesus. "My teaching is not my own." This is Jesus speaking as a man obedient to his Father. "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. You're going to know. You're going to know. So when we go back and we look now at Matthew chapter 7, at Matthew chapter 9, let me read this again. He said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" Those are men from below, aren't they? Those are men from below. And as the below are, they think from below. They think from death. Jesus was in contact with life itself. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? That authority wasn't his own, was it? It was given to him by the Father as a man who pleased God. And then he said to the paralytic, "Get up and take your mat," and he did. "And go home," and he did. The man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. To men, it says. And that's the point. Do you see that kind of authority working in men? This is all based upon that relationship with God. When Jesus sent back the Comforter, that was to enable you to enter in to the Father through His righteousness. Through His body and blood, you can now have communion with God as Jesus did. You can walk with the Father as Jesus did. You can be in fellowship with the Father as Jesus was. You are born from above now instead of below as Jesus was. He is the example of all you should be now walking in this flesh. You should have that kind of relationship with Him, where it's not you that speaks, but God that speaks through you. That's what the preachers of God are supposed to be. That's what the apostles of God are supposed to be. That's what the evangelists of God are supposed to be. That's what the prophets of God are supposed to be. And that's what the follower of Christ, period, is supposed to be. One who walks with God through the blood and body of Christ. That power to forgive sins is not of ourselves. It's from above. And it's through Jesus Christ. You see, you can't just walk as Jesus did apart from Christ. It has to be through Christ. It tells us in the past God spoke in many and various ways, Hebrews 1, but in these last days He speaks through His Son. And His Son died, and through His body and blood passed this on to us, and He left, and He sent us the Comforter. So we could walk in this way. He sent us. And now that's the power you should be walking in. Amen? But look around. Is that what you see? Where is faith in this earth? Where is the understanding of who the Son of God is? And where is the understanding that you are called to be His children? That Jesus is your elder brother. That He has blazed a trail for you to follow. Where is the understanding that we're not of this world? We're not to be entangled in this earth. We're not to be entangled in this world. But we are citizens of heaven who are bringing the good news of heaven to the people who are lost in this world. Where is that understanding? Where is it? Where is that authority of the certainty of faith of God in your life, where you can look down and say, equally with power, your sins are forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed and walk? If what you say is true in the unseen, then what you should say should be true in the seen as well. Because it's not you speaking, but God speaking through you.
Jesus didn't speak apart from the Father. And we have that same relationship handed to us through the body and blood of Christ. So where is it? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Because you can see from all we read and talked about this evening, it's there. It's right there between the pages of that book. It's right there in the Holy Spirit that's guaranteed it to your heart, even as I've spoken. Yeah, I know that. I know what the Holy Spirit said to your heart. Because He said it to mine. That it's true. And yes, that's the way you should be. And yes, that's what I desire for you to have. Yes! And amen. Enter into that relationship so that it may be true. There's a world full of dying, hurting people around you, depending that it will be true in you. Do you understand that? Lay your life down as Jesus did to the Father as a man who pleased God, and it will be true to you, in you. That's a good place to stop. Any questions or comments?
Thank you. This is R.S. Neville with Prophetic Journal. Please join us again here on Know Radio, knowingyou.org. Remember to support them and all that they're doing to bring you the gospel. God bless you.